All right, take your Bibles this morning. I want to teach this morning on the faith promise giving. And I think it's a wonderful principle that we find in Scripture to finance God's work. It takes, the gospel is free, but it costs money to give it out. And William Carey said, to do God's work, God's way, never lacks fund. Something to that effect. If you do God's work, God's way, the money will be there and the finances will be there. And so God's blessed us richly in North America with finances, and God wants us to use the finances that He's given us to be a part of His great work. And so when we think about faith promise giving, it is a principle that we find in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 deals a lot with this particular principle of giving. And I know the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and in particular in chapter 8, it's primarily dealing with giving to the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. But we find this principle of giving to God's work and advancing the work that God wants to do in and through us. We'll see that throughout the scripture. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it definitely in the New Testament. And so I trust that this message this morning will just help us to refocus our priorities in life, and refocus our eyes on what God has called us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and beginning verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry, ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And so here we have a principle of giving to the poor saints and God's people coming together, putting their money together for a specific purpose. That was to relieve the poor that were in Jerusalem. But when we look at in chapter number 9, which we'll look at a little later, but we also see that Paul, he says, "Once your faith has increased, you will have enlarged us to be able to preach the gospel message to the regions and beyond." And so as Christians, we partner with missionaries. You know, as Christians partner with missionaries, we share in the fruits of their labor through sacrificial financial giving. It is a source of great joy to know that our gifts enable missionaries to stand in our stead, preaching the gospel and winning precious souls to Christ. You know, as Paul was talking to, or sorry, as Jesus gave the Great Commission there in Acts chapter 1, he says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." And so that was given to one particular group there. And the question would be, well, how in the world can we both be a witness here at home and around the world? Well, if we support missionaries, we have then the opportunity to preach the gospel to the regions and beyond. You know, looking at the back wall there, you see the missionaries that you support financially and prayerfully, and you're not able to be in Liberia, you're not able to be in the States, you're not able to be in these different countries that these missionaries are in. So, but we can have a part in reaching the world for Christ through our giving and supporting missionaries. And it's so very important that every church, as I said last time, any church that is not involved in world evangelization has forfeited their right to become or to be called a New Testament church. I can't remember who that quote was from, but Oswald J. Smith, I believe, who was the one who said it. But we have a great responsibility and a great opportunity and a privilege that is ours to partner with missionaries and to go and be a part of what God is doing. You know, the financial cost of taking the gospel to foreign lands is a formidable barrier to modern missions. While money alone cannot convert a single soul, it's not in our money, but God wants to use our finances to be able to give the gospel message out. Missionaries are sent and sustained only by the consistent sacrificial financial commitment of God's people. How are they supposed to get on the field? How are they supposed to stay on the field? It costs money. You read the testimony of missionaries of days gone by where they didn't have the technology and all the things that we enjoy today as far as sending money and sending an e-transfer and with credit cards and the banking system that we have today. You know, if we're not careful, we can eliminate faith out of our work and simply trust the technology that we have and trust in the modern technologies that we have today. But when you consider missionaries of days gone by, you know, how that they totally depended upon God to work in a miraculous way. I'm reminded of William Carey before he went to the mission field, and he knew that God had called him, but he wanted to see that God would be faithful, that he could trust God on the mission field. And so he proved God to see if God would take care of him at home before he went to a foreign mission field, because he needed to go to the field knowing that God was going to take care of his needs and of all of his needs. I remember talking to one missionary, Bill Wall in particular, or Bill Wall in Mexico. He one time gave the quote, he says, "The greatest thing that a missionary needs on the field is to have his prayers answered." I thought that was a great quote, because that truly is what a missionary needs, what all of us needs, is to have God answer our prayers. And so with William Carey, you may have read that story before, and I'll just give you a short, condensed version of it. But he was training under a doctor, and he was he knew that God had called him to India, and he wanted to go. And so he was training under a doctor, a well-known doctor. And so, as he was working for this doctor, the doctor would give him a paycheck at the end of the month or however he paid him. And there came a time where the doctor, the guy that he was working for, had forgot to pay him. And, of course, William Carey needed the money to pay for his rent and pay for his food and things of that nature. And but he wanted to prove God, that God would hear and answer his prayer. And so he made a commitment. He said, "I'm not going to approach my boss for the money. I'm going to pray that God would touch his heart to provide the needs that I need." And so it went by, and as he was praying that God would work on the heart of his boss and to give him his money, he said time would go by, and the rent was due, and his food was running out. He needed food and things of that nature, and it seemed like this doctor had just completely forgot. And to make a long story short, God worked in a miraculous way to touch the heart of the doctor, to give him the money that he needed just at the right time. God came through, and he prayed, and he trusted God. And that was a turning point for William Carey. He said, "I know I can trust God. I know God will take care of my needs." And you know what? God says it in Malachi. He says, "Prove me here therewith. You know, prove me if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." And we can trust God. God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's obligated himself to take care of us no matter where we are, whether we serve here at home or whether we are called to be a missionary on a foreign field. We can trust God that God will take care of us. But God also wants to use people to meet our needs. And so that's when we look at faith promise giving. It's us, all of us, getting together in world evangelization. Some are called, some go, and some are called to give. But we all have a part in missions. And so when we think about faith promise giving, it takes funds to send a missionary to the field. Lack of funds has been, you know, it can be such a detriment to the missions. And so, again, God has obligated, it's His program. God has set it up in such a way to where all of us can have a part in world evangelization. A couple of points I want to look at today in regards to giving. An advantageous approach. There are several advantages to Faith Promise plan for financing missions. As a Bible-based program, it not only provides funds for missions, but also advances every objective of the local church's missions program. You know, when we think about missions and being a part of missions, there are so many advantages when we think about giving to Faith Promise Giving. It's a focus that we have. You know, sometimes it's like when people living a life and they get their paycheck and they live without a budget. You know, you soon realize that you're spending money into things that you don't even know where it's going. But if you have a budget set up, your money goes a lot farther, and it goes to a specific purpose. It's not wasted money. You know, I believe with a faith promise program, if the church adopts that, you know, it's geared to a specific purpose. We have an objective that we're looking to, and we're financing missionaries. It's not just, well, we'll just throw our money out and see, you know, where it ends up. No, we're supposed to be stewards, good stewards of God's the money that God has entrusted us, and we give it to when we give it to missions, it goes for a specific purpose, and we can see what God is doing in and through our giving. You know, we see faith promise offers two great advantages over the method. First, it elevates the church's missions ministry to the place of prominence the Great Commission deserves. You know, many, many churches, if you look in the world today, missions is kind of in the bottom of the barrel. If we have missions money, we'll give missions. And I remember attending one church, and this was before we were saved, before I even knew anything about the Bible or even missions. And I remember attending a church, and they said that the money that comes in, all the money that comes in on the last Sunday in the offering goes to missions. And it was missions was so seldom talked about. In fact, I didn't even know what missions was. My idea was of mission work was simply, you know, a thrift store. You know, down in Winkler, we have an MCC, and people can donate their items that they no longer use or want, and they bring them to the store. It's a thrift store, and they sell it, and the money that they get, they give to missions. And their missions primarily is giving to poor, helping, you know, people that are less fortunate, but under the name of Christ, but the gospel is left out in many, many of these organizations. So for me, for missions, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense what missions was. But as a church, missions is the primary focus of every church. We are to be involved, greatly involved in missions. And when we have a program like Faith Promise Giving, it helps us to focus on what the church is here for. It directs us, and it elevates the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to the church. Second, it fosters a more direct and personal connection between church members and missions, resulting in more mission-minded church. Every single one of us, we ought to be mission-minded. And as we each and every one of us has a personal commitment to give to Faith Promise Mission, it draws us in. It's not just a job. It's not just something that we do because everybody else is doing, but it's a closer relationship with the ministry that we're involved in here in the church. And so Faith Promise Giving has many advantages. You know, members are more eager to participate in missions-related activities such as conferences and correspondence, housing, and things of that nature, getting involved in missions. And I believe when the missions conference is taking place, the whole church ought to rally together and take part of what God wants to do in every church and in every believer through a missions program, missions conference. You know, young people, we think of our young people today. So many in our local churches, they're kind of wandering through life and kind of aimlessly. But God's got so many things planned for their lives. And we, you know, if a church that is focused on missions and having a focus on missions, part of that is Faith Promise. You know, it's the church is being reminded week after week. It says, hey, we're taking part in missions. We got a responsibility to give of our finances and to help finance missionaries, to read prayer letters, to keep missions before the forefront of our minds in churches. And we keep our focus that way. You know, another point is it's a biblical method. You know, most people credit the Canadian preacher A.B. Simpson for developing the Faith Promise program. He claimed he got it from the Bible, and we would agree. But Faith Promise Giving is built upon solid biblical principles. Practicing faith in finances is just as necessary as practicing faith in every area of our lives. You know, we live by faith. The Christian life is living by faith. It simply means that we believe God's word and we act upon what God has said in obedience and obeying what God has already revealed to us. You know, no great work can be done or can be accomplished without faith. As Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so God wants us to act upon faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, therefore, it is no great thing, therefore it is no great thing if his ministry also be transformed. No, I'm at the wrong verse here. I want to go to 2 Corinthians I think I got the wrong verse marked down here. Give me just a second here. Okay. I was in chapter 11. Chapter 10, verse 15 says, "Not boasting of the things without our measure, that is, of our men's labor, but of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands." And so when we think about faith promise giving, it is a biblical principle that we find throughout Scripture. And there's eight principles that we find in chapters 8 and 9 that we find in regards to giving to faith promise missions. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we see, again, these eight principles. I just want to list a few principles that we see in regards to giving. The prerequisite is that we give ourselves to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse number 5, the Bible, as I read just in the beginning of the Sunday school, it says, "And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." You know, before we can get involved in really thing of the Lord, we need to first learn to give of ourselves. Give ourselves. The thing that God is most interested in is your life. He wants your life. He wants to use it. And here we see the Christians that were in Macedonia, and Paul gives witness of their lives and their dedication, how that they just wanted to be used of the Lord. And we see that these Christians, they didn't have everything, they didn't have the wealth that some may say they would like to acquire. But when we look at the verse of Scripture here, it says, "Moreover, brethren," in verse number 1, "we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto their to the riches of their liberality." And what Paul here is saying of the churches of Macedonia, he says they were in a great trial of affliction, whether it was because of the poverty or because of persecution or whatever their trial of affliction was. Paul says that they had a desire to be a part in what God was doing, and they said they were in deep poverty. It wasn't that they gave of their abundance. No, they gave in their deep poverty, and they were willing of themselves. It wasn't something that God commanded them to do, but they said, "Hey, we want to have a part in what God is doing." And they said, and as Paul says, they were willing of themselves. Nobody had to force them. Nobody had to try to make them feel guilty in giving. They said, "No, we realize what God has done for us. We understand the grace that we have received of God, and we are willing to be a part of that." You know, God wants willing Christians to be a part of that. Another thing we see is the attitude of our giving must be cheerful. In chapter 9 and verse number 7 says, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God wants us to be cheerful in serving Him and giving of ourselves. He doesn't want us to come into Him crying and weeping, "Oh, I don't want to give my money." No, He just wants us to do it willingly. Our willingness, another point is, another principle we see in giving, our willingness to give demonstrates our desire to further the work of God. In chapter 8, verse 3, it says, For their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they are willing of themselves." And so they were willing to see the work of God continuing to move forward. You know, we ought to have that desire as well, to see that this work grows at home, and that our missionaries that we support, that their work grows. And there's so much involved in missions that we can be a part of. Another thing we see in the principle of giving is these two chapters connect grace with giving 8 times. It places the emphasis both on the gift and the giver. And so we have many, many principles in the Scriptures. I heard one preacher one time say, if we don't understand and learn to live by principles of biblical principles, we'll not experience the full blessed life that God wants us to have. So there are many principles throughout Scriptures that we need to apply to our lives and in order to do the work that God's called us to do. Another thing, God promises the power to abound in giving just as He promises the power to abound in other Christian grace. Faith giving allows believers to give beyond their power to cause or for the cause of world missions. I remember when I was in Bible college, going through Bible college, I was working a full-time job. We had three children, and we had house payments, we had vehicle payments, college bill payments, groceries, clothes, and homeschool, and I mean, there's a host of things, and I wasn't making a whole lot of money. And going to Bible college was one of those times where God really, really puts you through the ringer, puts you to the trial. And I remember there was a time in our lives where, you know, we knew that God had called us to missions, and we knew that God wanted to use us. And there was a time in my life, too, where I had to prove the Lord to see if He would really come through, if I could trust God to meet my needs, just as William Carey did in his life. And I remember there was a time in our lives where it seemed like money just did not, there was just not enough money from one paycheck to the next. And I remember there was one particular time where the college bill was due and our payments were due, and I got my paycheck, and I looked, you know, you sit down, you calculate, and you figure out where all your money's going to go. And of course, you know, we had believed in tithing, we believed in giving to Faith Promise missions, and we did all those things. And as I was looking at my sheet of paper and the money that we had and the bills that we had, and I figured it all out, and at the end of the once everything was paid, there was just but a few dollars left over for the next 2 weeks. You know, I can't remember exactly how much dollar was it, something like $40, and that was supposed to last us to buy groceries and buy gas for the next 2 weeks. And then you start thinking, okay, Lord, if I don't tithe and if I don't give to missions this week, Lord, You'll understand, right? Surely the Lord will understand that. And I just didn't have peace about it. It's like, Lord can't be trusted. You know, now you got to try to manipulate your situation. And I just prayed, and I guess the hardest thing I dealt with at that time, it was a Saturday morning. I was just finished Bible college, and I was going to go home. Classes were done, and I had settled it in my heart that I was just going to pay my bills. I was going to pay my tithes and my offerings and Faith Promise and the things that we had committed to the Lord. I was going to pay my bills, all the bills that we had, and tell my wife that, hey, we just don't have any money for groceries for the next 2 weeks. And we had enough money for a little bit of eggs and milk and, you know, just the necessities. And so I guess the greatest thing I feared is telling my wife, we're going to try to go without groceries for 2 weeks. And so I came home, and praise the Lord for my wife. We started talking about it, and she had been praying about it too. And, you know, the temptation of holding back your tithes was in the forefront of her mind. And so I was talking to my wife, and she just said, you know what, Jake? She says, I've been praying, and says, let's just trust God. Let's just do what God told us to do in His Word. And, you know, we did that. We trusted the Lord, and God met every single one of our needs. I mean, at the end of that time, end of that trial, and we didn't go around telling people and say, oh, pray for us. We're just really, really short on money, and I don't know how we're going to make it. And so just pray for us, you know, make this big announcement. We're having a great need. No, we didn't do that. We wanted to see God do a specific work. And He did. He met every single one of our needs. I remember at the end of that week, it was actually more than 2 weeks where we where we struggled. Well, we didn't struggle, but where God was testing us. And to make a long story short, at the end of that period of time, we went back to college one Saturday morning, and Liza Friesen was working in the college office at the time, and she asked if she could meet with me and my wife. And so we went to college. I went and picked up my wife and the kids. They were all at home, so we came to the church, and she told us to wait in the office there, in the college office. And so we sat in the college office and waited for whoever wanted to talk to us. So as we waited there, and about 15 minutes, and it was like, man, this is kind of awkward, maybe 10 minutes long, I can't remember exactly the time. And so Eliza comes back in the office, and she says, okay, you guys can go home now. And they're looking at each other, this is weird. You know, I just said, didn't somebody want to talk to us? And she said, no, we're good, you can go home. Okay, so we just packed up the kids and kind of sheepishly walked out of church, opened up the van door, and wanted to put the kids back in the van. And as we opened up the door, our van was loaded with groceries. The back seat was full, and some of the back there was just full of groceries. And we didn't tell a single soul of our need. God is my witness, we didn't tell anybody. And God met our need. And God promises He'll do that for us. And there was another time, you know, finances were short. You're going to Bible college. You're surrendering to the, you know, you've surrendered your life to the Lord to be used of Him. And you don't have to go to Bible college to be surrendered to the Lord. You just surrender your life to the Lord and let the Lord lead you. But I remember another time we came home and somebody had stuck an envelope in our door with $120 in there. And just time and time again, we saw the Lord's faithfulness. You know, if you give to God, you give to His work, and you trust God to meet your need, He'll do that. I mean, He's obligated Himself to do just that. You know, a missionary, when he goes out onto the mission field, he's dependent upon God, but also God is dependent upon His people to give. He wants His people to give, to take part of missions. And so we see the principle of faith giving and trusting God throughout the throughout Scriptures. We also see we are to give out of our need rather than out of our excess. This is how God's Word defines sacrificial giving. In chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, this is not to say, well, when our paycheck comes, we're just going to give 100% of it to God. No, God understands we have needs, we have responsibilities, we have bills to pay. You know, if you're going to give your whole paycheck to the Lord, and then neglect your responsibilities to pay and care for we understand the principles of giving. I remember when we were on deputation, there was a girl in a church, and she had just a heart to give to missions, and she gave more than she took in. In fact, what she did was unbiblical, but you appreciate her efforts. What she would do when every time a missionary would come through, she wanted to give to that missionary. She wanted to give some money, so she had a credit card, and she would go to the bank machine, and with her credit card, she would withdraw cash. And that's instantly 18 to 23% interest that you're paying on that money that you withdraw. But she had such a desire to give to these missionaries that she got herself into a lot of financial problems because she gave money that wasn't hers. The Bible says that we are giving out of what God has blessed us, not of what we do not have. But we give what God has given us, and from what God has given us, we give of that. We give of the money that God lays upon my heart. Faith promise is not giving. You know, some people have this idea that faith promise giving is giving an amount that is impossible for you to give. And when I first was introduced to faith promise, that's kind of the idea I had. I believed that faith was doing something that was impossible to do. And yes, in a sense it is. But simply put, faith is praying to God and asking God, "God, what would you have me to give?" You go to God in prayer, and God lays a amount on your heart, and by faith, you believe that that's the number that God lays upon your heart, and you give it by faith. And if I, you know, somebody was like Pastor was mentioned, you know, when you fill out these faith promise cards, and there's a, you know, 15, you know, there's a number of $500 a week, and the person who wrote it, his age is like 15 years old, you can say, well, you know, that's probably not going to come in. But this guy says, well, I'm just going to believe God's going to give it to me by faith. And, you know, that's the wrong kind of faith that we're looking at. We're looking at what he's talking about here is giving of the things that we have. As I said before, in my own life, you know, going to Bible college and giving to faith, promise giving, and to missions and all these things, we looked at that and said, well, oh boy, this is kind of hard to do. But we have to trust God that God would meet our need. We're going to give to God, and we're going to see God meet our every need. And God did just that. So giving, when we give to God, it's out of our necessities. We don't just say, well, I'm going to give, you know, $5 a week, and it really won't bother me. No, we need to give in such a way to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for this amount. I want to see you do a work and to meet all of my needs. And God will take care of our needs, and we need to be willing to give of, you know, even as these Macedonians, it says they gave of their deep poverty. We need to be willing to do just that as well. That last point under the principle of giving is no one is exempt from participation in faith promise giving. God's plan is all inclusive. And so that's the wonderful thing about God. When God gives us something to do, it can be done. It's possible to do with His through His strength and wisdom and His grace. We can have a part of it. You think about the tithe. And some people say, well, we're just too poor to give. Well, tithe, giving of the tithe is such a wonderful principle that every single person can take part of it. You know, if everybody were to give, you know, $1,000, well, that would be very unequal for a lot of people. But when you talk about the tithe, everybody can give 10% of their income. If you make a dollar a week or a dollar a day, you can give 10 cents of that dollar. If you make $1,000 a day, you can give $100 of that, because God's work done God's way works, and God is not a taskmaster, and He's not one that makes life hard. It's us that make it hard on ourselves very often when we don't trust God and obey His principles. Another thing, faith commitment, another point under giving to faith promise giving is a faith commitment, is what it is. As the name suggests, faith promise mission giving is based on a faith commitment. In addition to regular tithes and offerings, each church member is challenged during the annual missions conference to exercise faith in making a one-year weekly commitment to the church's missions ministry. And we can all have a part, and God wants every single one of us. When we think about church and missions, it's not a one-man show. It's not a responsibility of one man. No, it's the whole body getting together and saying, what can we do for faith promise missions and reaching our world for Christ? You know, it's a commitment that we make by faith. We trust God to work upon our hearts, to reveal to us what He wants to do in and through our lives in world evangelization. The church increases its missions commitment for the year, and it's based upon the anonymous commitments. That's why Pastor mentioned too, you know, you have that card that you fill out every year. You put down the number that you believe God has laid upon your heart that you're willing to be to commit to. And by faith, you commit that to the Lord, and you allow the Lord to prove Himself as you are faithful to what God has revealed to you. This is not a pledge to the church, but a commitment to Christ in world evangelization. This is a commitment between you and the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to have a part in world evangelization. I want to have a part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. I may not be called to go to a foreign field. I may not be called to be a pastor. But Lord, I want to have a part in reaching this world for Christ. And so I commit this to you, and I want to be faithful in doing this. And that just brings you into that missions ministry that God wants every one of us to be a part of. And it becomes a personal ministry. It's not just, you know, collectively, but it's personally, collectively, doing what God's called us to do. So it's a faith commitment that every one of us needs to be a part of. And it's also a well-placed faith. The challenge of faith promise is not how much can I trust God to give me for faith promise commitment each week. Rather, the question is, how much can I give to faith promise each week and still trust God to meet my own needs? And we say, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to give. And so we commit that to the Lord, and then we trust God to meet our every single need. And we place our faith in Christ. We pray, we place our faith that God will meet our every need. So the first question does not really involve faith, except on the missionary part. The latter question expresses real faith, because I expect my commitment as a firm obligation and determined to trust God to help me live within His provision. We focus on God. Our faith is in Him, and faith is in what God wants to do in us. Churches also exercise faith that members will not use their tithes and offerings to pay their faith promise commitment. That's a completely different thing. Tithes and offerings to different programs, different projects and things of that nature. This is an entirely separate commitment that we commit to Jesus Christ for world evangelization. That's the main purpose of faith promise giving. It's to reach a world with the gospel. And we do that through our giving. Another point is a simple implementation. The simplicity of faith promise ministry or faith promise program makes it appropriate for churches of all sizes. God's people should be given time to prayer and consider their commitment. This is not something we just do off the cuff. As the word says, it's faith promise. What that means is, as I said before, we go to God. We say, God, I want to have a part in world evangelization. And in the sincerity of our heart, we pray and ask God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to be a part of? And God simply gives us, He reveals to us, He speaks to our heart. I trust we hear when the Lord speaks to us. And we say, this is what I want you to do. This is the part I want you to have in world evangelization. And so it's a simple program that every single one of us can be involved in. You know, the sacrifices of missionaries serve as an example of selfless commitment to the Great Commission. You know, the commitment that we give is anonymous. Nobody needs to know. That's why Pastor said, don't put your name on there. This is a commitment between you and God. And it's simple. It's something that every single one of us can have a part on. It's not complicated. It's not something that we need to have an education for. It's not we don't have to go to Bible college to figure out or to be a part of Faith Promise Giving. Every single one of us that has a willing heart, we can be a part of what God wants to do. And then a proven program. When properly implemented as a faith response rather than just a new method, Faith Promise Mission Giving has proven to be a remarkable effective tool in financing missions. Yeah, I've heard many pastors, they say that when they took on Faith Promise Giving, their giving to missions just exploded. I remember one church in particular in Iowa, when we came through there on deputation, they had just adopted that program a few years ago. He said they were only able to support a few missions. It wasn't a whole lot of missions money that came in for missionaries. But he said when they learned and understood the principles of Faith Promise Giving, he said the year that they adopted that ministry, that program, he said their finances more than doubled in missions. And they support, last time we were there, I can't remember how many missionaries. It wasn't a large church. They had somewhere between 200 and 250 members. But they also supported around 200 missionaries at $100 a month. I mean, it was just amazing what God was doing in there. And they were excited to give. And I trust we're excited to give and to be a part of Faith Promise Giving. And so I know I covered a lot of points and stuff. But let me just encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and just understand the principles of giving to God's work and seeing God do a great work. It's an amazing thing to see God work by faith as we trust Him.